Had an interesting morning. Normally I get up on Sunday and Jesus and I go over the sermon again for the final time before I share it with you, and I don't know whether he was just displeased with me or what, but if I look like I'm lost up here, it's because I have as much handwriting on my type notes as type notes. So we'll see where this goes. A few days ago, actually a little over a week ago, I took some time, and you know, every now and then you have to kind of think, where have I been? And I thought through the adventure my life has been since late fall of 2019, when I decided, prayerfully decided, that now was the time to start a new ministry. And so, following all the normal EC protocols for requesting a new church assignment, I told the bishop, I told my DFD, and I told my PRC, all those letters. And then we told the council, and then we told the congregation, and it was smooth sailing until mid-March of 2020, when the world shut down to enjoy this brief COVID holiday from business, which wasn't really bad right away until it decided to take the whole world and shut everything down with a pandemic. An early interview here at the church, followed by months of silence because of COVID, followed by a phone call, another phone call, another phone call, a Zoom interview, well, it became a time of frenzied activity as Carol and I scrambled around to prepare a house to sell, as we raced around looking for a house to buy so that we can relocate in just a few weeks to begin this fun-filled adventure of creating a new rhythm in a new church while trying to get to know people who are half hidden behind masks. You can't make this stuff up. This is so strange compared to what real life might have been. But here's the strangest thing as I thought through that, and the reason I thought through that, because I was looking for an illustration in my own life for today's topic of suffering, I had to admit that I really haven't suffered, not really. I mean, Carol and I missed a vacation or two, and there were a whole lot of restaurants that probably were suffering because we weren't eating there and leaving lots of money with them. And I lost over 20 pounds of excess Less Cool. Now, I have a whole bunch of friends who found 20 pounds of extra, whoever they were, but because I wasn't eating in restaurants, I just lost weight. And Carol and I downsized our living space so that we would have more time for people, so that when we hit the ground here, we could get to know them, only to realize most of them had gone into hiding. But in spite of all of that, we've made a lot of friends. We have a few really good new friends and more in the process of making. I've developed an honest enjoyment for puzzles. Didn't used to have that. But dead time created space to learn that. And I read a stack of books that were begging to be read, leaning over in the corner of the room. My cheesecakes are in high demand. And my cheese quesadillas, why, they rock. And I guess practice does make better. I'm not perfect, but I am definitely better than I was. But I've not really suffered. But my heart aches. Because all around me, all around us, is amazing suffering. Friends, family, neighbors, strangers, people who have made the news because of their suffering. Suffering as victims of a virus and the aftermath of that. Sickness, death, job loss, financial insecurity, homelessness at record levels, separation from family and friends, the agony of wearing a mask, of isolation. And some, and you know this, seem to suffer more than others, while others not just survive, but seem to be thriving. Why is that? Why is there seemingly this randomness to how people respond to what's going on? Well, there's some easy answers. Some people are just designed to be more flexible, to be more resilient, to be more easygoing, and that helps. And some people simply are wired to adapt, regardless of what's going on around them. And others have learned. What I want to share with you this morning in some depth is that God and God's people can be, are, a deep well of strength and comfort. So for a few brief moments this morning, and I know if some of you looked at your clock, we're already behind. We're going to be a lot more behind before we're done this morning. So just settle in, make yourself comfortable. I want to consider suffering and comfort and strength and how it, through God and through the church, helps us in those moments. Now, a few moments ago, we sang the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," the lyrics of which were written by H.D. Spafford. Now, he was a successful lawyer and a real estate investor in Chicago back in the 1800s. And in 1871, his only son, he had daughters, but his only son died of scarlet fever. And that year, the Chicago fire destroyed a significant amount of his personal property, from which came his great wealth that he freely shared with people around him. And shortly after this fire, he lost most of his family when the ship they were on sank in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And the words to this song were penned by Spafford as he was traveling across the Atlantic to connect with his wife and to bring her home. And as you think about what he had been through in the last few months, one would think the words of this song might have been about loss and pain and grief. That would be normal. But no. Woven into the words of the song were words of hope, joyous words of hope. Hope that might be found in Jesus Christ. And Spafford models for us a healthy way for us to do daily life. You see, most of us are so busy counting what we have lost that we don't see what we have or what we have left. Spafford models that for us. And out of that attitude rose up within him this newly birthed comfort, this newly birthed strength. And so this morning, I guess the question for us is, where do we get that? Where do we get that? We're going to go to Scripture, and when I think about suffering in Scriptures, the Apostle Paul comes to mind for me, because there's not too many people who suffered more in depth and over a long period of time as Paul. And we can think about his Damascus Road experience, where he met Jesus for the first time as Lord and Savior. And we read in that passage, in verses 15 and 16 of Acts chapter 9, the following words. "But the Lord said to Ananias," he was the man who was to go to Paul, "Go, Paul is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Now, I don't know if Ananias had a job description with him, but if that was in it, that was a terrible job description. "You are going to suffer for me." And then fast forward later in his life, he had developed a personal testimony. Most of us have that, kind of like an elevator speech of where Jesus fit into our lives and how that could happen in other people's lives. But this testimony probably isn't going to win a lot of souls. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is what we read. I've excerpted it because it's a really long passage. "I have been in prison, been flogged, exposed to death, received 40 lashes minus one, beaten with rods, pelted with stones, shipwrecked, spent a night and a day in the open sea, been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my fellow Jews, from Gentiles, in danger in the city and in the country, at sea from false believers. I have gone without sleep, known hunger and thirst, and have gone without food." He said that twice. I probably would have done the same thing. "I have been cold and naked." And so today, we're going to look at some of Paul's encouraging words to a church, the Corinthian church, that was experiencing some distress, some discomfort, perhaps maybe even suffering. And that's what we heard just a few moments ago as Jim read that passage for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the first 11 verses. And this morning, I'm going to beg your grace and your patience with me. What I would like to try to create is a mosaic. Pieces that will fit together to help you walk away this morning knowing better how to deal with discomfort, stress, suffering. You pick the pieces that work for you. What I'd like to look at are two ideals. Suffering has purpose. suffering builds community. And then I want to define two concepts, suffering and comfort. And I'm going to do them backwards because you probably think you need to know what suffering and comforting are before I show you how they work, but I think that kind of skews how you see how they work. So we'll save the definitions for the end. So first we'll start with suffering has purpose. And this is in this Corinthian passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Now often for us, as we think about suffering and we measure it or look at it, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. It might even be useless, pointless. But if we could measure its purpose, which I'm presenting you this morning, suffering has, maybe it would be easier to accept. And Paul suggests that suffering might be God's way of preparing us for what might be coming down the road toward us. And here in this passage, that something is actually another person or other people who are suffering, wherein we might step and make a difference in their lives by providing comfort. That's verse 4. God the Father comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. Now, the problem is we often miss the comfort that God has, that God is, or that God will or is in the process of providing for us because we are so busy playing the oh, why me game. I get why it's his problem, but not me. And instead, we should learn a new game, new questions to ask. Not why me, but what now? What next? And in asking those kind of questions, instead of closing ourselves off inside ourselves and wallowing, we open ourselves up to God who can then speak into our lives and provide for our minds and our hearts his presence in a healing way. Now, you might be thinking, why would comforting another person be important? Shouldn't we just take care of ourselves? Well, I think when we comfort another person, we actually start or begin or continue to fulfill certain things that have been commanded of you and me. Things like love one another. When we comfort others, we are loving them. Or to love our neighbor as ourselves, as we would want to be comforted, we do that for others and we satisfy that command of Jesus. Or how about go and make disciples? We could actually comfort others as an act of love and find that evangelism, discipleship, takes place in that process. Our suffering, our personal suffering, as Paul is modeling and explaining to us, actually helps shape us so that we might be able to comfort others. You see, it's almost impossible to take people someplace that we've not been. I mean, you could point them down that road and around a corner, but to take somebody someplace usually has been good for us to have been there. And I think the same is so when it comes to providing comfort. When we have opened our lives to receive comfort, we then know how to take people along to receive it. And I think this is what Paul was describing in verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And in here we have these, I'm calling them three link chains. There's three people in each of these two chains. It begins with God, it comes to you, and you bring it to me, or it comes from God, it comes through me, and I take it to you. And these linkings of God through us to others can actually become part of the spiritual DNA of our body life, wherein it's natural for us to comfort one another. And I'd like to suggest that this comforting of the suffering could be for just about anything that might hurt or pinch or poke at us. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a pet, a job, a car, a friend. You dropped your cheesecake on the ground, and you're like, oh. Or your hot dog. I don't get that excited about a hot dog on the ground. Dealing with a pandemic and all of the stuff that goes with that, or even persecution for your faith, which is what I think Paul was experiencing, verse 7. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, that was because he was a witness, so also you share in our comfort that had been coming from the Lord, because they were separated, but that these people were becoming part of. Now, what does this comfort look like? Well, it might be just opening your heart to be receptive to God's intervention, a divine healing touch, or maybe it's actually believing that God cares and that he really does provide comfort. And so sensing and enjoying that is amazing, how easy it is to not believe something that exists and then not be able to enjoy it. And I think that's what's happening here. But the other place where this comfort could come from, it could come from the presence and words, or the presence and silence from a person who has come alongside of you, who has been comforted, who knows what it is, and then we find that the one who has been helped now is able to help, and you or I receive that. Suffering has a purpose. It prepares us. But suffering also builds community. I think we see this in verses 7 to 11. And I want to start with rules. Do you guys like rules? Rules help narrow things down a little bit. And you can squabble about these rules. And if you have complaints, talk to Dale, because I'm locked in on these. Rule number one, being together builds relationships, usually. Rule number two, sharing life builds relationships, usually. And relationships are fundamental to community, almost always. And here we found Paul sharing his sufferings by telling others about his experiences, inviting them into his life. And it seems that in doing that, this group of people, the Corinthians, had also shared with him what was going on in their lives, and so inviting him into their lives. And what they created was this special spiritual bonding. Verse 7 again. And our hope, that is Paul and his peers, for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings by hearing, by caring, by praying, maybe by doing, so also you share in our comfort. You see, what Paul had experienced and now knew that God comforts, that he really does, was now available to this church who felt that they were suffering and were open to what he had to offer. And also in verse 8, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles, that is the persecution that Paul and his peers were experiencing because they shared their faith. We experienced in the province of Asia, we were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure. I mean, more than a person can bear. Now let's face it, the mask has been uncomfortable, right? And not seeing people has been uncomfortable, right? And I watched a couple people hugging in the lobby this morning for the first time in I don't know how long, and it looked like it felt good. Yeah? Yeah. But it was more than a person could bear, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Serving the Lord had indeed cost Paul dearly, such that he thought that he might actually die. And I wonder how often he thought back to those words on the Damascus Road, and that whole experience where he was introduced to, you're going to suffer for me. And then right in the middle of that last verse, verse 9, there's a but. But this happened, all this suffering, all this thinking I'm going to die because of the suffering. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That's the ultimate comfort. Imagine if we could keep in mind that that is what God is capable of doing. He is capable of saying, come forth, and the dead walk again. Capable of touching a young man on a funeral bier And he sits up and he's returned to his mother. If he can do that, can he not help us when we're uncomfortable with our mask, our isolation, the loss of a car or a hot dog, or whatever's going on in our lives? He has delivered us from such a deadly peril and will deliver us again and again and again and again. Looking back on his suffering, Paul realized that suffering for him was a gift. Pressed beyond what he knew he could do, what he was able to do, he was able to open his life and receive and embrace the good things that God had offered, but probably weren't actually accessible because he was doing it. And what did God offer? Comfort, strength, and a measure of wholeness. Directly from the Spirit of God that dwelt within him, as well as from those who had gathered around him. This shared relationship he had with this church, as well as other churches. And Paul is explaining to us that this mutual sharing of the hard stuff of life allowed a mutual sharing of the good stuff of life, this comforting each other. We are in this together, the bad, the ugly, and the good. Community results. It's the fruit of soul bonding. And it remains available for future instances of need, so long as we stay connected. Now, we've got those two principles. Let's look at a couple definitions. Suffering. Suffering or affliction is the stress or pressure or pain, mental or heart, that we feel or experience as we deal with certain circumstances in our daily lives. Maybe a broken relationship. Maybe facing another day at that job. Or not having a job, maybe a life-changing problem, like a pandemic, maybe fear, real or irrational. Doesn't matter which, it's still our fear. The key is that we name it, that we might label our suffering and our affliction. It's a loss. It's a particular moment we're struggling. It's a fear. We have enemies. Something that's unknown to us. But now named, we can pray, Lord, help me. My friends, he always does. There is no cry for help where God doesn't respond. But there are cries for help from inside the cave or the fortress that we've created around our hearts and our lives where nothing can get in. But here Paul is modeling for us that when we say, Lord, help me, that we're literally opening our lives to the possibility, to the reality that he will. And he draws near. His Spirit draws near. People from his family draw near. And God comforts, and God strengthens, and God uses others to do the same in our lives. And yes, I know this sounds so simple, maybe too simple. I mean, look at how complex our lives are. And I get that. But I also get the value of support and the scary place that alone can be. And the relief that can be realized when another joins us. Suffering. Comfort. Comfort is what is offered. It's not just a word. Comfort is more a presence that brings a weight, a strength. And Paul's word comfort here means to strengthen or maybe to prop up or to offer some kind of extra support or to reinforce. And you and I, we could do the very same thing. The very same thing that God does as a spirit wraps around a person's heart, their soul, their mind, and props them up, reinforces them, strength. We could do the very same thing with our presence. Isn't that what we do when we hold somebody at a funeral? We don't have words, but we hold them. Isn't that what we do in the corner booth at the pizza place? And you know the pizza really stinks there, but that's where they wanted to meet. And you're there to share with somebody who's struggling. It's what we do over the back fence with our neighbor because they express some distress and we're just there to listen. Now, suffering and comfort. But there's one more thing I need to share with you this morning. It's in the passage and it's all through Scripture. And I know some of you don't want to hear what I'm about to say. So for those of you who are already concerned about what I'm going to say, I'm going to teach you something you can do. Take your hands like this. Go ahead. Hold them up. Come on. I mean, you might not actually do this when I'm talking. And then you take them, cup them over your ears, and then you go, blah, 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 blah. So you can't hear me. But I'm going to say these things because the Lord laid them on my heart and said, you need to share this with them because this is hard to swallow. God's blessing of comfort, though it's promised, may not be deliverance from. May not be deliverance from, but rather strength and encouragement in or while treading the deep waters. The Christian is not promised. The Christian is not promised. The Christian is not promised release from trouble or suffering, but is offered help in the midst of it that we might endure. Listen to some amazing words written by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in his studies in the Sermon on the Mount, which he wrote in 1959. It's on page 196, in case you want to go look it up. Our Lord does not promise to change life for us. He does not promise to remove difficulties and trials and problems and tribulations. He does not say he's going to cut out all the thorns and leave the roses with their wonderful perfume. No. He faces life realistically, and he tells us that these are things to which the flesh is heir and which are bound to come. But he assures us that we can know, that we can so know him that whatever happens, we need never be frightened, we need never be alarmed. He knows. Say that with me. He knows. Say it like you mean it. He knows. So let's review. God provides and brings comfort in times of suffering. And it's real comfort, not empty words. God provides or brings comfort through his people. People like you and me for people like you and me. God's comfort is a lasting comfort. It's not like a hug, though hugs are great. It's more like an infusion. And it's actually his indwelling spirit getting larger, taking up more space, pushing away. Do I look taller? That pushing away the stuff that has been hurting us. It enables life. It enables more life. It enables a richer life. Sometimes it enables the next step. Even the next breath, God is there in the midst of our suffering. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, the gift of your Son, each working in our lives that we might be connected with you in these powerful, powerful ways, that we might receive your comfort, that we might be strengthened, propped up, enabled. And Father, in a room this size, surely there is one or 20. And add that to all listening live stream, maybe 30, who are in some state of processing pain, loss. They are suffering. We pray that they would be open to naming that and allowing you to address it or being open to a visit. in the comfort of another. Help us be honest that you might heal. Help us be truthful that we might find release. Care for us, Father. We pray in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.